The NATO summit wrapped up in England today. There were the usual joint statements and photo ops. But below the surface, there are problems. President Trump and Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau are bickering. More on that in a bit. France's president called NATO brain dead. Emmanuel Macron also blasted NATO member Turkey for attacking the Kurds in Syria. Turkey's strategic location, straddling Europe and Asia, make it a key NATO partner. And for decades, Turkey strove to become a more Western, secular nation. But under President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the country has been moving in a much different direction. Mustafa Akyol is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute in Washington.
Turkey was never a very perfect democracy, but it has a democracy that goes back even to late Ottoman Empire. And Turkey has really gone down in terms of its freedom, its rule of law dramatically in the past 5 to 6 years.
So moving away from that Western liberal democratic model, what was Erdogan's kind of strategy?
Well, he started to get closer to Russia and China as well, interestingly. These are the powers that wouldn't criticize Turkey on human rights issues, for example. Especially the rapprochement with Russia has become very significant. Turkey bought Russian missiles, which is, of course, a major issue right now between Turkey and the U.S. Turkey allowed Russia to start building a nuclear plant, which is not begin yet, but it's there as a plan for the future. Turkey also growingly looks like Russia in terms of its political system. There's a powerful president under which the whole society takes a hierarchical form. I mean, the media, universities, everybody has to follow the leader.
So in Turkey, how united or divided are Turks over this shift, over this kind of tilt toward Russia and China?
Of course, not everybody supports this. A lot of Turks are quite worried about this drag towards the East and this move away from freedom, from rule of law. We should not forget that President Erdogan enjoys a popularity, like maybe half of the population. But then there's another half, which is very much against him. And that second half is actually growing in numbers. That's why his party lost Ankara and Istanbul, two big cities in Turkey in the recent municipal elections.
Right.
And there's a chance that he himself might lose power too. So I share with many criticisms towards Erdogan today in the West, but I think neither the Western world nor Turks themselves should give up the hope that there will be a post-Erdogan Turkey and it might repair some of the damage that has been done in the past several years.
Well, I was going to ask you, how permanent is this shift? And when you say repair some of the damage, I mean, what does that mean exactly?
Well, that means restoring rule of law. In Turkey, there are thousands of people in jail for crimes, quote unquote, that would not be considered as a crime in any liberal democracy. People are persecuted because of what they say about the president or the government. Turkey also lost a lot of trust in Western institutions, and that includes NATO, that includes European institutions. So there may be a post-Erdogan Turkey where a new political leadership can say, well, we had a bad time. This was a rough era for our country, but now we need national reconciliation in the first place. It's a very divided country, but we have to heal that. Plus, we can restore rule of law. We can stop jailing people for just merely being critical of the government. And we can restore our ties with Western institutions. There are political forces in Turkey who want to do that. So I think we should not give up on that chance that Turkey's current state of affairs might change for the better. If Turkey is lucky, the Erdogan era might just go down in history as just an overreaction to the century-long domination of the more secular Turks. The risk is that this overreaction may really take Turkey away totally from Western institutions and make it an ally of Russia. So that would be a bigger problem to overturn.
Mustafa Akyol, senior fellow at the Cato Institute in Washington. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the show.